Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
The T-ball program usually heard at this time will be momentarily delayed for a special broadcast.
Prepare yourself for a trip through time, space, and the reality that you have known when you enter into Willow's world. Willow Andreasen brings you the thought-provoking dialogue and news from around the world that shows your mind has no limitations. Take it away, Willow.
Good afternoon and welcome from a beautiful United Kingdom. My name is Willow Andreasen, also known as Surrey Sunflower, in the Freedom Slips Revolution Radio chat room. And it is the Thursday, the 4th of June, 2020 edition of Willow's World. And I'm going to assume I can be heard because the headset seemed to be working. It did. Honest. It hasn't started making any strange staticky noises and it seems to be picking me up. So hopefully I can be heard. So I'm just going to listen on the player to make sure I can be heard before I start telling you what's going to be happening on today's show and before I give thanks to a lot of people. So just making sure. Oh, good. That's fine. Good. Brilliant. OK. So, yeah, just before I get started with telling you what's going to be happening on today's show, I just want to say a big thank you to Patrick, who was on before me with Not For Public Consumption, and to all the hosts here at the station for everything you all do. It's truly, truly appreciated indeed. And a big, big thank you as well to all the producers, all the moderators, the amazing management team for everything you all do. It's truly appreciated indeed. And, there's a possibility I could be doing a third hour tonight, maybe. I don't know. again, a big, big thank you to all the management team as well for the amazing work that they do. I mean, I'm humbled and honoured to be a part of such a fantastic team. And as I said, Tones has been doing an amazing job with getting everything up and running. The servers, there's a couple of glitches here and there, but that's to be expected for a little while, as we said. And it's running smoothly in the main. And again, a big, big thank you to Tones for everything. And also a big, big thank you to Liz for everything that she continues to represent to the station. And also to the individual, to the soul, without whom this safe platform for free speech wouldn't exist, because it was his drive, his single-mindedness, his determination, his vision, and sheer stubbornness that brought this network to life 9.5 years ago. We're 6 months away from our 10th anniversary. We've got lots of different plans in place for that 10th anniversary. Introduce, as I said, we're hoping to get the archives back up and running very, very soon. Lots of exciting plans in the works. So again, a big, big thank you to Hawk, because without him, this safe platform wouldn't be here. Thank you very much indeed, sir. And as I always will at the start of every single show, a big, 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 big thank you to my late other half, Briareus, for everything that he continues to represent in my life. Thank you very much indeed, my love. And a big, 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 big thank you as well. And lots of hugs and kisses to some very special loved ones. They know exactly who they are too. And to all you amazing listeners for your continued support of us through some very, very challenging times, not only with Hawke's passing, but also with the recent lockdown and all the challenges that has wrought upon so many people around the world and continues to do so. Because although the lockdowns have been relaxed, there have been even more draconian and stupid rules put in place. And it's becoming pretty evident to me that some of these are going to be permanent. And I'm hoping that people are sort of finally going to wake up and sort of stand up and turn around and say, no, we're not putting up with this. But again, a big, big thank you to everyone for your support. Sorry, I went off track there slightly. But a big, big thank you to everyone for your continued support. We appreciate how challenging it's been for you all. We really do. And we are immensely grateful to you for your support. Thank you ever so much indeed. And to those who are listening who'd like to support us and you're not sure how to do so, there's ways you can do so. Let's do this live on air, shall we? Let's go to the main webpage, which is found using either www.revolution.radio, that's www.revolution.radio, or www.freedomslips.com. Takes you to the exact same location, nothing missing, everything is there. Now you see at the top of the page there's the options there, they migrate down the page. So when you hear me referring to migrating options, that's what I'm talking about. And you'll see when you scroll down that they stay at the top of the page. So you can go and click on one of them whenever you want to. Do you fancy a change in fashion, a change in drinking receptacle, or do you feel that your mouse needs a little bit of a change? Well, click on store, takes you to our Zazzle store, folks. And there's some wonderful bits and pieces in there of, you know, fashion, mouse mats, coffee mugs that I've just mentioned, all with the not only with the Hawke's original designs on them, but also with the wonderful station's general manager's wonderful designs on them. Station's general manager, of course, being a mad painter. So go and check those out, folks. Go and treat yourself to something and you'd be helping out the station as well. And we're working on building up more stock in there. I've got some other ideas in mind. Get round to telling you about a few. I did drop a hint about one about a couple of weeks back. See if you can remember it. There's also the you can support us electronically if you happen to live in the US or Canada and you have a credit or debit card by clicking on donations and filling in the simple instructions on the screen. You can't support us on a monthly basis using this option yet. We know it works. It works very well for those in the US and Canada. So again, you can't support us on a monthly basis using that option yet. However, if you happen to be a patron of ours, because indeed we have a Patreon page, which is well worth checking out, you can become a patron of us, of the station. So to do so, there are three different locations on the webpage where you can sort of click and follow the simple instructions and become a patron of ours. And yes, as I said, you can support us on a monthly basis. And we're going to be developing the Patreon page with some goodies. Which we've all alluded to, those of us in the management who are hosts, we've alluded to it. But we'll tell you more about that very, very soon. You can become a patron, three different locations. At the top of the page, you'll find it nestling between the migrating options and the Revolution Radio banner. Scroll down a little bit further. It's just about halfway, just over halfway down. No, just under halfway down, sorry. You'll find the same nestling between the Hawk's Nest and the tribute there to Hawke. And then scroll down to the, more or less the bottom of the page and you will find the same accompanying the snail mail options, which I'm about to furnish you with. You can send checks or money orders made payable to Revolution Radio. That's two separate words. Revolution spelled R-E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N and radio spelled R-A-D-I-O. And then they are posted to the wonderful Lady Horse. Her name is Terry Ackerman. First name is spelt T-E-R-R-Y. I'll repeat that. It is T-E-R-R-Y. Her surname is Ackerman and is spelt A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. I'll repeat that as well. It's A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. And the postal address is 1793. That's 1793. Excuse me a minute. Sorry, I just had to clear my throat. 1793, that's North Eden. Eden spelled E-D-O-N Road. And that's Allen, spelled A-L-L-E-N. Michigan, M-I, 49227. So checks or money orders made payable to Revolution Radio are then to be posted to Terry Ackerman at 1793 North Eden Road. That's Allen, Michigan, 49227. Alternatively, do you have a product or a company that you'd like to advertise on a cost-effective basis on a website which receives a very healthy number of visitors per day? Well, for $25 a month, you can advertise on the station's website. And if you'd like some further details on how to do so, you can contact either A Mad Painter or Lady Horse on the email addresses provided on the website. But again, a big, big thank you to everyone for your support. We are immensely grateful indeed. Just thank you. So, what's going to be happening on today's show? Well, just about to tell you. I'm going to be wandering into the chat room shortly to say a big hello to everybody in there and make sure you're all okay. And then we're going to wander over to the Nexus of Nerddom, that is IO9 Gizmodo, for the day's geek headlines, which is their morning spoilers section, which I thoroughly enjoy reading now. And if I've got time as well, I'll have a look at an article too. Then we'll wander east to Mother Russia for the day's global headlines. There's plenty going on, isn't there? I think that's a little bit of an understatement. And I'm not being glib when I say that, because there is an immense feeling of horror about what's going on at the moment. But there's also, I'll read something out, actually, before we wander over. I'll read it out in a minute, because I agree with this view. And anyway, you can tell where this show is going to go, because I'm going down my own track today, aren't I? So, yeah, the second hour heralds the opening of the doors to the cosy nook that is Willow's Poetry Corner. And, as I've mentioned, this is a series of them, poems or which have a particular theme. Mother Nature provides humanity with an abundance of flora and fauna, which should be appreciated a lot more, because there's been some rather awful stories that have circulated on social media over the past week. And today sees us enjoying the company of our canine friends as we enjoy a selection of the best best poems penned about dogs. And then the remainder of the show sees us dashing across the twilight, rather damp lawns as well, and entering into the Bijou booth at his Willow's Observatory. And the first article, which I said I was going to defer because I wanted to give it time to breathe on the 25th of May show, delves into the world of quantum mechanics and computer science, which is focusing on quantum entanglement and the complexity theory. Second article zooms the telescope's lens in to focus on an asteroid that snugly orbits our close neighbour Venus. The third article travels out 12 billion years into the past, and we learn that the core of a dying galaxy had become established sooner than expected in its formative years. The fourth article visits a primitive star within the inner halo of our Milky Way galaxy, and it's a star that's delighted observers with plentiful surprises. And the final article returns closer to home as we discover more about the inner complexities of the Saturnian moon Enceladus. So we've got plenty to get on with, but before I wander into the chat room to say hello, this is what I shared earlier on. Now, there, those of you who know me very well know that I'm a big fan of Conchita Wurst, otherwise known as, I can't remember his surname, but his first name's Tom anyway. It's terrible. And there was I follow him on Facebook, and there was an interesting article he shared earlier on, or rather more of a commentary, which pretty much mirrors my own views on this. Now, this is probably not going to be very popular, and I'm not trying to win a popularity contest at all, really. I'm just not. But just heed what is said. That's all I ask. And this is what he shared. And I have to say, I agree with it. And I think it was written by Leslie Dwight. What if 2020 isn't cancelled? What if 2020 is the year we've been waiting for? A year so uncomfortable, so painful, so scary, so raw, that it finally forces us to grow. A year that screams so loud, finally awaking us from our ignorant slumber. A year we finally accept the need for change. Declare change. Work for change. Become the change. A year we finally band together instead of pushing each other further apart. 2020 isn't cancelled, but rather the most important year of them all. And bear that in mind. As I've said before, there are a lot of positives to what's going on this year. It may not seem it, but it's certainly indicated what needs to be changed. I'm going to wander into the chat room now to say a big hello to everybody in there and make sure you're all okay. So let's wander in. I'm in there. So Radek 10,000 is in the chat room, as well as Canon, one of our amazing hosts, The Mechanic. He's in the chat room as well, and he's on Saturday evenings on Studio B at 8 p.m. Eastern. He's also got an early morning roundtable as well at 2 a.m. Eastern on Mondays. Monday mornings here. It is Sunday evening for him. And he's on many roundtables. He's an active participant in many shows here at the station. That's The Mechanic. And Mona, of course, Mona is over the other side of the studio wall at the moment with the first of this week's Adventures of a Feral Hippie. The voice of the overnights at the weekends is Jer Bear is in the chat room, as well as Mace139. The lovely Eagle Flower is in the chat room, as well as Stardust Man. And Factual Theory, another one of our amazing hosts, Stephen Crawford, is in the chat room as well. And he has a show here on this very studio on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern. And he also has his Red Pill Roundtable, which he co-hosts with Scorpio at midday on Wednesdays as well. So that's coming up next Wednesday, because for some reason I thought it was Monday. Reg is in the chat room as well as SJ. Mario, another one of our fantastic hosts, is in the chat room as well. He's on later tonight on Studio B at 8 p.m. Eastern with this, that and the other. And of course, no, not 8 p.m., it's 6 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, Ro. he's on at 6 p.m. Eastern before Ro. And he also is on Monday evenings on the same studio at the same time with the show of the same name. Monster383 is in the chat room as well as Amiga Logos, and Comet is in the chat room as well as Dirt Engineer, and some strange person by the name of Sorry Sunflower is in there as well. Blasphemous Buddha is in as well as Batsman. Plant Manager is in as well as Popsicle Toes. Hummingbird is around as well as Pat Rabbit, who's of course just been on before me with Not For Public Consumption. And the omnipresent Mr. Rowe is around as well. He's on at 8 p.m. Eastern on Studio B tonight with Reality Extraction. He has two shows on Studio A here at 4 p.m. Eastern on Mondays and Tuesdays. The first one being his Crypto Corner, and the Tuesday one being Rose Corner. And he's normally on in the Nighthawk slot playing some wonderful tunes on a Sunday evening. Again, Rose always around. He's always around. Ha 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 ha. In the Kitchen is around, and who's been around? Rike has been around, as well as Ballyhoo and Lurking. I think that's how it's pronounced, has been around, as well as Jamada. Haven't seen you around for a long time, sir. Where have you been? But anyway, come in and join us, folks. Be good to see you. The more the merrier. So, let's wander over now to the Nexus of Nerddom that is IO9 Gizmodo for the day's geek headlines. And this is the morning spoilers section. And as it's always compiled by James Whitbrook and Gordon Jackson, and it was posted up today, and it's headlined, Ridley Scott still wants to make his Alien Covenant sequel. So Neil Jackson discusses his villainous turn on Stargirl. Legends of Tomorrow confirms that one departing hero is gone for good. Greg Daniels is hoping for more seasons of Space Force. Plus, what's to come on the 100? And Godzilla vs. Kong gets rated for Kaiju Calamity. Spoilers now! So let's get started. First one is Alien Covenant 2, Prometheus 3. So in conversation with the LA Times, Ridley Scott stated he's considering a third Prometheus alien film set to reveal the secret origins of the derelict ship on LV-426. Why its cargo bay held thousands of xenomorph eggs. Here's a quote from the interview. My answer is I think somebody was being very silly, but let's carry on. So I still think there's a lot of mileage in Alien, but I think you'll have to now re-evolve. What I always thought when I was making the first one was, why would a creature like this be made, and why was it travelling in what I always thought was a kind of warcraft, which was carrying a cargo of these eggs? What was the purpose of the vehicle, and what was the purpose of the eggs? That's the thing to question. Who, why, and for what purpose is the next idea, I think. Next is The Little People. So Grabber's director John Wright is now attached to direct The Little People, a film described as Gremlins meets Straw Dogs for Cornerstone Films. Based on an original script by Wright and co-writer Mark Stay, the story concerns Londoner Maya and Jamie escaping their urban nightmare to the tranquility of rural Ireland, only to discover malevolent, murderous goblins lurking in the gnarled ancient wood at the foot of their new garden. When heavily pregnant Maya's relationship with the local family turns sour, who or what will come to her rescue, and what extremes will she go to protect her unborn child? Next is Godzilla vs. Kong. So Godzilla vs. Kong has been rated PG-13 by the MPAA for intense sequences of creature violence, destruction, and brief language. Next is Venom, Let There Be Carnage. So producer Dan Wilson spoke to Vanity Fair about when he plans to resume filming Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And here's a quote from that interview. So nobody wants to go into an environment that's going to be risky, and that goes for crew members too. It's not just talent. It's everybody involved on set. There's a nervousness, and that's natural and understandable. In the plans that we've discussed, they've certainly taken that into account, and we'll see when we get there, I guess. Next is 2067. Bloody Disgusting has our first look at 2067, the upcoming sci-fi thriller about a society fueled by artificial oxygen and a time traveller searching for a solution. It stars Cody Smith, McPhee, who's X-Men's younger Nightcrawler, True Blood's Ryan Quanten, and Sana A. Shaikh. And there's some images from 2067 as well to spoil yourself with if you're interested. Next is Legends of Tomorrow. So TV Line has confirmed that Maisie Richardson Sellers will no longer feature as a series regular in Legends of Tomorrow Season 6 after Charlie's departure in the season finale. Space Force is next. So speaking with Collider, co-creator Greg Daniels revealed Netflix has yet to commission a second season of Space Force. Here's a quote. So we're certainly hoping for a few more seasons, and we have started to assemble the senior writers to discuss what would happen next year. We don't have the pickup yet, but yeah, there's a lot to follow up on based on where we ended. Next is Harley Quinn. So showrunner Patrick Schumacher also confirmed Harley Quinn has yet to be renewed for a third season, while pontificating about potential opening scene ideas. And indeed, he did so on Twitter. Next is Stargirl. So during a recent interview with TV Guide, Neil Jackson revealed the Icicle harbours feelings for Courtney's mom, Barbara, played by Amy Smart. And here's a quote. She awakens feelings in him that he hadn't felt since the death of his wife. His feelings start to get in the way of his plans. It's Icicle really poised to mac on Courtney's mom. Looks like this growing feud with Stargirl will soon get personal. So in the same interview, Jackson admitted his character sounds like a My Little Pony. I was like, well, is this a Nickelodeon show? He sounds like a My Little Pony. Doesn't sound like a villain who instills fear in people. Then he pitched me the character and I got it straight away. These names are throwovers from when comic books didn't have the same sort of gravitas that we have with them now. And so you've got names like the Justice Society and Injustice Society and Icicle and Stripsy. And they're all a little bit kitsch and silly and fun. Jeff's brilliantly taken what could be ludicrous and turned it into something that's very credible. With this last episode, Jordan proves himself to be a very, very, very powerful threat, even though he's got a silly name. Next is the 100. So finally, mysterious outsiders arrive in the Trail of Hesperides. Next week's episode of the 100. And there is indeed a trailer there if you're interested. And that is the final entry for today's spoilers. And I'm just about to post that there in the chat room. I'm kind of going to look at the time. Yeah, I've got time for an article. Let's have a look. Probably go over to Kotaku for this one. Tend to, because I like Kotaku. It's a good site. Let's have a look and see what there is. Is there anything there that I'm really, really sort of drawn to? I don't. Oh, hang on. Not really. Oh, hang on. Elite Dangerous. Yeah, let's go for that. Yeah, because I know many good folk who have played Elite Dangerous. So, let's have a look at this one, shall we? Written by Ian Walker, posted up on, it was posted up yesterday. And it's Elite Dangerous will let players stretch their virtual legs in 2021. So space flight sim Elite Dangerous is set to expand next year with the release of the next significant update. While the game has confined players to their cockpits since it launched in 2014, Odyssey revolves around completing missions on foot rather than from behind the controls of a starship. Details are still scant, but developer Frontier Development says Odyssey will finally give Elite Dangerous players the opportunity to stretch their legs on unexplored planets. Contracts run the gamut from diplomacy to all-out combat, offering endless mission variety and a near-infinite amount of content. That's quite a promise, and yeah, there's a trailer as well. Odyssey will also expand Elite Dangerous's robust customization system with an array of personal weapons and gear, all of which you'll be able to upgrade at public outposts. Combat is said to be multi-layered, deep, and tactical, with battlefields composed of on-foot commanders, surface recon vehicles, and yes, even starships. Some more Elite Dangerous Odyssey details will be shared periodically between now and the expansion's release in early 2021. So there we go. I shall share that there. Yeah, which shows that do you dig? That's the game I was talking about. They're Elite Dangerous. Is there a show of it? I didn't think there was. Is there a show based on Elite Dangerous? Don't know. I'll have to look at that one. So anyway, we're going to wander across now to Russia for Russia Today, specifically for the day's global headlines. And we start with the world news section a little bit earlier than normal. I still won't be able to fit any much of it in. I can guarantee you that. Monday was a rarity. Normally I'm sort of going, I don't have a chance to do it. But anyway, the main headline from the world news section is coronavirus was released from Chinese lab by accident. Former MI6 chief claims and cites new study as proof. So a new peer-reviewed study shows that the COVID-19 outbreak started as a faulty experiment in China, the ex-head of MI6 says. The paper he cited was reportedly watered down to remove accusations against Beijing. I will probably look at that one. We'll see. We're looking at the news line now, which is world news still, but just not as in-depth. Near normality. So Jordan to reopen hotels and shorten night curfew from Saturday. So the government in Jordan said on Thursday it would reopen hotels and cafes, allow sporting events without spectators and shorten the night curfew as of Saturday. The night curfew will be shortened to begin at midnight rather than 7 p.m. and day-long curfews in place every Friday are being scrapped. However, PM Omar al-Razaz told reporters that while the country had now returned to near normality, it would now toughen enforcement of social distancing to ensure there was no risk of a resurgence of coronavirus infections. So Jordan took early steps in mid-March to restrict the mobility of its 10 million people, sealing the borders and imposing a state of emergency and a night curfew. Amman in recent weeks relaxed some measures, reopening most businesses and factories to avert mass layoffs and bankruptcies. The economy was already struggling with sluggish growth before the crisis. EU and China postpone Leipzig summit due to coronavirus as Europe seeks broader scrutiny of foreign investment. So a summit between China and the European Union, planned for September in the German city of Leipzig, has been postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic, the German government has said. The decision was made after Chancellor Angela Merkel held separate phone calls with Chinese President Xi Jinping and European Council President Charles Michel, government spokesman Stefan Siebert said on Wednesday. They agreed that the meeting cannot take place at the envisaged time, given the pandemic, but should be rescheduled, Siebert added. A similar summit that was due to take place at the end of March in China was also postponed. EU states had wanted to use the summits to push Beijing to give European companies equal treatment and put an end to the practice of forcing foreign firms to share know-how when operating in China, according to Reuters. The European Commission has called for tougher scrutiny of foreign investment in the bloc, a public draft document showed on Thursday. The move is widely viewed as an effort to shield more sectors from potential Chinese buyers. Czech Republic may drop travel restrictions for Germany, Austria and Hungary on Friday. So Prague will drop restrictions on travel to and from Austria, Germany and Hungary on Friday, Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš was quoted as saying on Thursday. The move follows the reopening of the border with Slovakia on Wednesday. It is also part of a plan to allow free travel with most EU countries as of June 15th. I'm hoping that as of midnight tomorrow, travel will be freed up with these countries, CTK cited Babiš as saying during a trip to Karlovy Vary. The government will meet on freeing up travel on Friday morning, according to Babiš. Austria, which shares a border with the Czechs, is open to all neighbours apart from Italy, and Germany will drop border restrictions on June 15th. The Czechs are planning to allow entry from more than 20 European states also from June 15th. However, visitors arriving from places where the epidemic is still strong will have to provide a negative coronavirus test or stay in quarantine. Irish PM Varadkar hopes air bridges with selected countries will be possible within weeks. Within the next few weeks, Ireland hopes to resume air travel with countries that are at a similar stage in tackling the COVID-19 pandemic, Prime Minister Leo Varadkar said on Thursday. I hope that as the world returns to a new normality, we will see international air travel resume. In the first instance, through air bridges with countries that have suppressed the virus to a similar extent as ours, Varadkar told Parliament. This, however, is some weeks away, and it's far too soon for anyone to book their holidays yet, but summer is not yet lost, the Prime Minister added. Ireland requires anyone entering the country to self-isolate for 14 days, and the government will review the quarantine regulations for travellers on June 18th. National airlines, in particular Ryanair, have pushed back against the rules, which they say are impossible to implement. Dismiss us or don't disturb us. Poland's ruling party seeks confidence vote ahead of presidential election. Poland's PM Mateusz Morawiecki asked Parliament on Thursday for a vote of confidence in his government in a surprise move seen as an attempt to bolster his Law and Justice party ahead of a presidential election. If you have enough votes, dismiss us. If not, let us act. Don't disturb us. Mateusz Morawiecki told the lower house of Parliament, where the ruling coalition holds a majority. The request came as the race for the presidential election, to be held on June 28th, is seemingly becoming ever closer. Incumbent President Andrzej Duda, an ally of the ruling party, had long been the clear favourite, but recent polls have shown his lead narrowing. The main opposition centre-right Civic Platform Party has changed its candidate to Liberal Warsaw Mayor Rafał Trzaskowski. A poll on Monday showed Duda would lose in a second round to either Trzaskowski or his other main challenger, TV show host Simon Szymon Hołownia, Reuters said. Sorry about that, folks. Trying to get the pronunciations right. Duda's re-election is crucial for PIS's hopes of implementing its agenda, which includes judicial reforms that critics say reduce the court's independence. Turkey says it changed balance on ground in Libya as Eastern forces reported quitting Tripoli. So Libya's internationally recognised government said on Thursday that it has regained control of Tripoli, driving Eastern forces out of the capital after a year-long battle. Forces allied with the Government of National Accord say they now hold everything within the city boundary. A military source with the Eastern Forces, which are based in the city of Benghazi, was quoted by Reuters as saying they were pulling back from all of Tripoli's suburbs. Eastern Commander Khalifa Haftar and his Libyan National Army launched an offensive on Tripoli last year, pledging to unite Libya after years of chaos. Ceasefire talks are expected to resume while Libya is still partitioned between rival administrations in Tripoli and Benghazi. GNA Prime Minister Fayez al-Sarraj will meet Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Thursday in Ankara, where its senior Turkish official said the GNA advances were critical before any potential peace talks. The whole world recognises that Turkey changed the balance on the ground, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu said on Wednesday. We have interests here and in the Mediterranean, he added. So back to the world news now, the more in-depth headlines. So rush to trash hydroxychloroquine based on faulty Surgisphere data exposes fundamental flaws in profit-based medical science. So as the World Health Organization and prestigious medical journal The Lancet back away from questionable data provided by healthcare analytics firm Surgisphere, ulterior motives for the rush to demonize hydroxychloroquine become clear. That's another possibility. Security guard stabs around 40 people at school in China and students among injured. A member of the school security staff in a Chinese city has gone on a stabbing spree, wounding dozens. One student and the principal are in critical condition. Scientists explain why people with A blood type are more susceptible to COVID-19. So a major study, the first of its kind, has revealed an association between certain blood types and the likelihood of respiratory failure as a reaction to coronavirus infection. So genetics could play a role after all. That's the one I'm going to look at because I was looking at another article earlier on, not on Russia Today, which was concerning whether or not, or questioning whether or not, and it was based on medically peer-reviewed papers, I believe, which was, I believe that's the case. I've got to reread it again. But it was suggesting that COVID-19 could well be a blood infection. It affects the blood. So, I'm curious about this one. And I will be reading it. So British girl Madeleine McCann, presumed dead as latest breaking case points to jailed suspects, say German prosecutors. So German prosecutors have said that the authorities now believe missing British girl Madeleine McCann is dead and are asking for the public's help in closing the 13-year investigation. Extreme gonorrhea and superbugs to be vanquished by poison arrow, drug researchers claim. So scientists at Princeton University, New Jersey, have made a groundbreaking discovery that could revolutionize antibiotic development. A new drug that works like a poison arrow to kill superbugs before they can develop resistance. Shame for Trump to hold Bible as protests rage. Iranian president slams brutal killing of George Floyd. So Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has criticized US President Donald Trump's handling of the protests against police violence raging across the country, also condemning the brutal killing of George Floyd. Almost 40,000 demand removal of statues showing colonial-era Belgian king blamed for Congo genocide. So amid ongoing anti-racism protests in the US, two petitions have been launched in Belgium demanding the removal of statues depicting King Leopold II. Estimates suggest the late monarch's brutal Congo rule left some 10 million dead. A massive landslide sweeps 8 houses out to sea in Norway as residents run for their lives. So incredible eyewitness footage showing the exact moment a huge landslide swept 8 houses out to sea in northern Norway was captured by a shocked resident as panicked locals fled for their lives with seconds to spare. Iran frees US Navy vet Michael White. So Michael White, a veteran of the US Navy who was arrested in Iran in 2018, has been released by Tehran and has left the country on a Swiss government aircraft. And 6 injured after car plows into outdoor cafe in Netherlands, driver arrested. So at least 6 people were injured after a car drove onto the terrace of an outdoor cafe in the Netherlands. One has been rushed to the hospital. The driver of the vehicle, which was badly damaged, is now in custody. So I'm going to have a look at the this particular article here. The scientists explaining why people with A blood type are more susceptible to COVID-19. A major study, the first of its kind, has revealed an association between certain blood types and the likelihood of respiratory failure as a reaction to coronavirus infection. So genetics could play a role after all. The study, entitled The ABO Blood Group Focus on a Chromosome 3 Gene Cluster Associated with SARS-CoV-2 Respiratory Failure in an Italian-Spanish Genome-Wide Association Analysis, is a genome-wide association study. That's a GWAS, that's its acronym. So if you hear me referring to GWAS, that's what it's referring to. A GWAS looks for correlations between DNA markers, that's tiny mutations scattered throughout a person's genome, and an outward physical or mental trait of some kind. In this case, that trait was extreme susceptibility to COVID-19, represented by respiratory failure. As you might have guessed, when a GWAS is involved, correlation is the key word. A GWAS does not search for causation, and therefore it is only the first step in a process to find inherited factors behind physical, mental, or behavioural traits. Moreover, the paper has been published ahead of being peer-reviewed on the preprint server MedRxiv, meaning its findings should be taken with a grain of salt. Nevertheless, this is the first strong indication of genetic factors being at play in reaction to COVID-19. So the study analysed over 8.5 million mutations in total and 1,725 Spaniards and 2,090 Italians from 7 hotspots of coronavirus. So that's Milan, Monza, Madrid, San Sebastian and Barcelona were included in the study. The researchers took efforts to exclude people of foreign ethnic origins so as to maintain as much homogeneity as possible in the database. The study found that people with type A positive blood are at higher risk of respiratory failure from COVID-19. Furthermore, those with type O blood are more protected from the virus. This was true for the cohort as a whole, as well as for the cohort when divided into Spain only and Italy only. So many commentators are already asking for similar studies to be done across wider European populations to see if the correlation holds up between more countries. So there you go. I'll just share that one there in the chat room. There we go. Next is the USA News. And the main headline on the USA News section of Russia Today is, "Who are you?" Unmarked riot police patrolling Washington, D.C. streets but won't identify themselves. Washingtonians are becoming increasingly unnerved by the sudden presence of unmarked militias who have been deployed to the streets of the U.S. Capitol as protests rage, but who won't identify themselves to citizens and journalists. A.G. Barr condemns George Floyd killing an Antifa extremist sowing violence, pledges probe into police civil rights violations. U.S. Attorney General William Barr has denounced the police killing of George Floyd and accused Antifa and other extremist groups of engaging in violence under cover of the peaceful protests triggered by Floyd's death. General Lee statue to be removed from Virginia's capital, Richmond. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has announced the removal of an iconic statue of General Robert E. Lee from Monument Avenue in the state's capital, Richmond, which has been gripped by protests over racism and police brutality. U.S. nuclear secrets reportedly stolen from missile contractor. Surprised to learn that Russian hackers are blamed again. So cyber extortionists have stolen confidential documents, possibly containing information about the United States Minuteman III nuclear deterrent, according to reports. May well look at that one. Fake wokeness. So video game from Bethesda switches profile images to LGBT pride flag, but not on Middle East account. So the Bethesda video game company has drawn the ire of netizens who noticed that it had changed its Twitter profile logins to a rainbow flag to celebrate LGBT Pride Month, but made an exception for its Middle East account. Practice the Eye Gouge, a project Veritas claims to have infiltrated Antifa, will expose its violent nature. Conservative investigative website Project Veritas claims it has infiltrated the controversial Antifa movement to expose its violent nature, days after Donald Trump said he would declare it a terrorist organization. Lawsuit targets NYPD over concealment of officers' badge numbers with black ribbons during demonstrations. The NYPD faces a lawsuit over officers covering their badge numbers during protests. Apparently done to mourn fallen officers, the practice seems to be nationwide, but critics claim it is used to avoid punishment for misconduct. Candace Owens slammed as white supremacist and racist for declaring George Floyd not a martyr or hero. Candace Owens is being called a racist by supporters of a protest over George Floyd's death for simply highlighting his criminal past and arguing against him becoming a martyr to black Americans. FBI terrorism unit joins probe into cop stabbing in Brooklyn, says report. So the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force has reportedly joined the investigation into an attack on an NYPD cop amid massive riots in New York, where one officer was stabbed and two more shot. The Great Screen Robbery. So Chicago looters make off with TVs and other expensive goods from moving train in broad daylight. Video has emerged online purporting to show looters audaciously stealing flat-screen TVs and other electronics from a slow-moving freight train in Chicago as mass protests raged across the US. And Lego joins corporate virtue signalling squad after pulling police and White House sets. Skeptics doubt its original intention. So the leftist praised toy maker Lego after it asked shops to hide sets released related to police and the White House. But critics suspect a typical corporate wish to distance itself from controversy was at the core of the firm's decision. I'm going to look at the US nuclear secrets being stolen here, folks. So cyber extortionists have stolen confidential documents, possibly containing information about the United States Minuteman III nuclear deterrent, according to reports. The hackers retrieved the files via Westech International, U.S. Air Force maintenance and engineering subcontractor working on the LGM 30G Minuteman III land-based intercontinental ballistic missile, Sky News revealed. The Minuteman III is a key nuclear deterrent system that controls thermonuclear warheads that can travel more than 6,000 miles, 9,656 kilometers. The information was reportedly stolen after the hackers managed to infect Westech International's computer network with ransomware. In classic ransomware fashion, the hackers then proceeded to leak documents online. The group leaked personal information as well as email communications and payroll data to show Westech that it had been breached. Although the operation was achieved via ransomware, the sheer value of the information means that it is unlikely it will ever be retrieved, even if the ransom is paid. As Brett Callow, a researcher for MCSoft, which specializes in tackling ransomware incidents, told Sky News, even if a company pays the ransom, there is no guarantee that the criminals will destroy the stolen data, especially if it has a high market value. The media has now, of course, begun pointing the finger at Russia, the main reason being that the type of ransomware used, named Maze, has in the past been traded on a range of Russian-speaking underground cybercrime markets. That said, by definition, this was a clandestine operation, and no evidence exists linking the leak to the Russian government. In any case, this is not the first reported missile data leak in the past month. In May, Japan's Asahi Shimbun newspaper reported that details of a new Japanese state-of-the-art missile may have been leaked when sent to various contractors to bid on. So there you go. There's that one there for you. There you go. And we are wandering over now to the UK news section. Main headline is Bojo to self-isolate again? So UK business minister awaiting COVID-19 test results held meeting with PM hours before feeling unwell. So a UK business minister awaiting COVID-19 test results conducted a meeting with Boris Johnson just hours before becoming ill in the House of Commons, meaning the Prime Minister may have to self-isolate yet again. Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary lambasts UK quarantine as waste of time. So Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary has described the UK's coronavirus response as shambolic and warned that the impending 14-day quarantine rule for travellers entering Britain will be useless. Giuliani fumes at liar and disgraced Piers Morgan, with British TV host branding him unhinged as pair trade insults over Trump. So Rudy Giuliani's defence of Donald Trump escalated into an ill-tempered row with Piers Morgan as the pair traded insults over the US president's response to the wide-scale protests sparked by George Floyd's death. Queen's Brian May says he's crawling on hands and knees after heart attack but recovering slowly. Rock legend and lead guitarist of the band Queen, Brian May, has revealed that while he is recovering slowly from a recent heart attack, he had no idea he was at risk and revealed he is still crawling on his hands and knees. Fists fly as mayhem engulfs Downing Street during anti-racism rally. This is yesterday, I believe. So a march in London turned violent when protesters brawled with police near the UK Prime Minister's offices. It was held in solidarity with US protests sparked by the death of a black man, George Floyd, at the hands of police. Kiss My Shoes. Two British teenagers arrested after video showing pair racially abusing black boy goes viral. Two teenagers have been arrested in England after a shocking video went viral on social media, showing a young man and woman racially bullying a black boy and telling him to get on his knees and kiss their shoes. Prince Charles sees golden opportunity in COVID-19 pandemic as UK economy faces biggest recession in centuries. UK's Prince Charles has said that the coronavirus crisis represents a global reset moment, one which seemingly allows leaders to ram through sustainability initiatives as cash-strapped citizens have no choice but to obey. This trendy social distancing bracelet will vibrate when you go somewhere you shouldn't, and GCHQ has its makers back. There's nothing like a global health crisis to help the tech dream of business control freaks to rein in suspicious masses. A GCHQ-backed firm now offers vibrating wristbands for warehouse owners as a COVID social distancing tool. Unbelievable. UK police accused of hypocrisy over their support of George Floyd protesters. So British police leaders say they stand in solidarity with those appalled at the brutal, potentially racially motivated killing of George Floyd, prompting derision from those unconvinced by Britain's own record on tackling racism. UK universities could make students stay in protective bubbles to prevent COVID-19 spread when campuses reopen. Students at British universities could be forced to stick within a small protective bubble of students and not mix with others when campuses finally reopen in September, following closures due to COVID-19. And what's he been doing for the past 6 months? Bojo mocked after reports he is set to take direct control of coronavirus crisis. So PM's Boris Johnson has been accused of socially distancing from his responsibilities after a report saying he will now take charge and steer Britain through the COVID-19 pandemic, leading many to ask, who's been in control till now? I'm going to have a look at the article about Brian May. Because I was aware he wasn't a well man, but I wasn't aware that he was this seriously ill. And of course, I'm a big fan of Queen and Brian May. And I know there's a fair few here at the station who like Queen and Brian May as well. But so rock legend and lead guitarist of a band Queen, Brian May, has revealed that while he is recovering slowly from a recent heart attack, he had no idea he was at risk and revealed he's still crawling on his hands and knees. The 72-year-old rock royalty was already recuperating from a bizarre gardening accident, which tore both his gluteus maximus muscle and trapped his sciatic nerve when he suffered a heart attack. A visibly tired May took to Instagram to reveal to his followers and fans that he's recovering slowly, but has still been left exhausted after undergoing surgery on his heart. I finally managed to get to the music room. I'm recovering slowly. I'm still crawling around the house on my hands and knees. Not very rock star-like, May said, while reminiscing about his performance on the roof of Buckingham Palace in 2002 to celebrate Queen Elizabeth's Jubilee, on the 18th anniversary of the concert. It's amazing that 18 years ago I was on top of Buckingham Palace, the loneliest place in the world, playing God Save the Queen and terrified out my wits. But it's one of those times when you face the fear and you're never quite the same after it, May said, adding that he's hoping to be out performing again soon. The rock star claimed his email inbox is full of messages of support and that he's overwhelmed by the torrent of love he has received through his recent trials and tribulations. I feel like I died, but I was able to come to the funeral and see all the tributes and stuff. I'm lucky I got to hear it, so my life is complete, May said, adding that he was taking it easy and doing physio. He also revealed that, following an angiogram, it emerged that three of his arteries were congested and that, while doctors recommended open-heart surgery, May opted instead to have three stents put in. May said he ripped out his tubes in agony while recovering from the surgery, but that the pain has subsided. He encouraged those over the age of 60 to get an angiogram to check their heart health, as he had no idea he was at risk of heart attack, given his healthy diet and lifestyle, which includes plenty of cycling. Well, I hope he recovers soon. There we go. I mean, I knew he wasn't well, but I didn't know he was that severely unwell. But anyway, folks, we're coming up to the top of the hour now, so go and get yourselves a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. And after the break, I'll be opening the doors to the sultry snuggery that is Willow's Poetry Corner, where we're going to be sticking with, just, you know, looking around and, you know, exploring the abundance of flora and fauna and enjoying the company of our canine friends as we enjoy a selection of the best poems penned about dogs. And then we're going to be dashing across the rather wet and windy lawns, because, of course, it is summer, you know, into Willow's Observatory, where I've got five different articles lined up for you, and hopefully we'll be able to get through them all. So anyway, go and get yourselves a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. I'll be back with you after the break. See you in a bit.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! Kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio. It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the second hour of this Thursday, the 4th of June 2020 edition of Willow's World. And just want to say a big welcome back to you all. And I've just said that, haven't I? And yeah, it's just gone 8 o'clock in the evening over here in the UK. And it's just gone 3 o'clock in the afternoon over on the east coast of the US and Canada. 2 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon Mountain Time, and it's just turned midday over on the west coast of the USA and Canada, and it's the middle of the night down under. And as I say, I hope that you're having a peaceful time wherever you are in the world, whether you're having a lovely morning, a wonderful afternoon, a fantastic evening, and a peaceful night. And I just hope that life is being kind to you and is starting to return to some semblance of an equilibrium following the recent lockdowns, which have affected all of us and will continue, I dare say, to affect us in many ways over the coming months, because it seems many of these measures that are being put in place do have a degree of permanence around them. But again, don't let that down. Don't let that sort of make you feel downhearted, folks, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's there. Just keep focusing on it. It's there. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. This has been broadcast on the world's largest listener-supported station, Freedom Slips Revolution Radio. And again, a big, big thank you to all our fantastic hosts for being you, and also to you amazing listeners for your continued support of us through some very, very challenging times. We are immensely grateful to you. And again, just thank you from the bottoms of our hearts. As I say, we're 9.5 years into this journey of ours, which was started by Hawk's determination and somewhat sheer bloody-mindedness about, yeah, as I say, 9.5 years ago. And we are now just under 6 months away from our 10th anniversary. So, again, a big thank you to everyone who has continued to support us through the years and through some very challenging months, especially the past 9 months. If you'd like to support us, you're not sure how, there are many ways you can help us out, folks. Wander over to our webpage, which is found either by typing up www.revolution.radio or www.freedomslips.com into your search engine of choice, and then clicking on us. And then you'll see on the web page as well, you'll see if there's the migrating options at the top of the page. Well, I call them that because as you scroll down the page, they stay there with you, so you can click on them anytime you want to. And that's the lovely Monster 383 has done a fantastic job of this website. He really has. And if you'd like a change of fashion, you need a new T-shirt, you need a new coffee mug, you need a new mouse mat. Well, if you click on our store option, that takes you to our Zazzle store, so you can treat yourself to something wonderful from there. When we're expanding everything, as I mentioned in the first hour, we're expanding the items available as we go along. And the items have not only Hawk's original designs on them, but also some lovely new designs from the station's very talented, very wonderful general manager, and that's a mad painter. So go and check them out, folks. You can support us electronically if you have a credit or debit card and you live in the US or Canada by clicking on the donations option and following the simple instructions that come up on that page. We know it works perfectly well for people who live in US and Canada. And again, a big, big thank you to everyone who has utilized that option. Thank you ever so much indeed. Now, you can't use that option for monthly support yet. We're working on that, but you can do so very easily if you happen to be a patron of ours, because indeed the station does have a Patreon page, which we're developing into something rather wonderful, by the way. But you can support us on a monthly basis using Patreon, and you can become a patron. Three different locations on the website. Top of the page, between the migrating options and the Revolution Radio banner. Scroll down a little further, just under halfway down, you'll find it nestling between the Hawk's Nest and the tribute there to Hawk. Scroll right down to the bottom and you will find the same, nestling comfortably with the snail mail options, which I'm about to furnish you with. Now, checks or money orders can be sent to us, and they are to be made payable to Revolution Radio. And then they are to be posted to the wonderful lady horse, Terry Ackerman. Terry spelt T-E-R-R-Y. Ackerman spelt A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. At 17, that's 1793, North Eden. Eden spelt E-D-O-N Road. And that's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Michigan, 49227. Alternatively, again, a big, big thanks to everyone who are patrons of ours, by the way. Big thank you to you all. Alternatively, do you have a product or a company that you would like to advertise in a cost-effective manner on a website which receives a very healthy number of visitors per day? Well, for $25 a month, you can advertise on our website. And if you'd like any further details on how to do so, you can contact either A Mad Painter, the station's general manager, or Lady Horse, who is one of our amazing managers here. And she manages a lot of things, does Terry, on the email addresses provided on the website. But again, a big, big thank you to everyone for your support. We are immensely grateful to you all. Thank you. So, what's happening in this second hour? Well, I've opened the doors now to the cozy nook that is Willow's Poetry Corner. And as you can see, the comfy cushions are already scattered liberally across the deep pile hearth rugs and the gentle, well, it is not so gentle spring. It's not exactly a gentle spring breeze today. It's blooming perishing. So I've got the window closed. Yeah, we're on the way to summer, folks, so it's cooling down a bit. The scent of sandalwood is subtly suffusing the senses, and teas and coffees are freshly brewed, and there's packets of dainty delectables available. You know, they're all socially distancing from each other, so you don't have to worry about anything. And I welcome you into my humble yet peaceful abode, where we're wandering across to the wonderful, interesting literature.com website for today's selection. 10 of the best poems about dogs. And you know this, you know the format by now. What I do is I read out the article first, and then I read out the poems. Now, if the poems are particularly lengthy, then I tend to stick to a couple of verses, two or three verses, depending upon the length of the verses, of course. Let's get started, shall we? This particular selection was posted up in January 2017, and they were selected by Dr. Oliver Turl, who does a fantastic job. So here we go. Now, we've already done the 10 best poems about cats. So we thought it was time to complement that with a similar post about the best poems about dogs. Dogs have been a popular theme in English poetry for many centuries. And in 1893, an anthology, The Dog in British Poetry, was even published. Pleasingly, it can be read in full online, by the way. And the link is available in the article. But below, below for them, and it'll be a bit later for us. We've whittled down the list of great dog poems to 10 essential doggy choices. Far from being doggerel, see what we did there. The dog poems included below are guaranteed to set tails wagging everywhere. We hope you enjoy these favourite classic dog poems, but have we missed off any favourites? So if there's anybody in the chat room who feels there's any bit that have been missed out, then let us know. So the first one is Alexander Pope's I Am His Highness, Dog at Kew. Alexander Pope, 1688 to 1744, was known as the Wasp of Twickenham for his stinging and acerbic verses criticising and lampooning his enemies. The following couplet by Pope constitutes the entire poem, so it's just two lines long. I am His Highness's dog at Kew. Pray tell me, sir, whose dog are you? The poem was reportedly inscribed on the collar that was around the neck of a dog that Pope gave to the Prince of Wales in 1738. But the suggestion in the couplet, of course, is that everyone belongs to someone else. We are all somebody's dog. Next is Oliver Goldsmith's An Elegy on the Death of a Mad Dog. This poem by the Irish poet and playwright Oliver Goldsmith, 1728 to 74, is about a rabid dog that bites a man and the effect that this act of violence has on the people of London. And in that town a dog was found, as many dogs there be, both mongrel, puppy, whelp and hound, and curs of low degree. This dog and man at first were friends, but when a pique began, the dog, to gain some private ends, went mad and bit the man. Next is Elizabeth Barrett Browning's To Flush My Dog. Flush is one of the most famous dogs in all of English literature, one of the most famous real dogs anyway. He was the Cocker Spaniel belonging to Barrett Browning, 1806 to 61, and would later feature in one of the weirdest and funniest works of modernist literature, Virginia Woolf's biographical novel, Flush, 1933. In this poem, Barrett Browning sings her pet's praises. Loving friend, the gift of one, who, her own true faith, hath run through thy lower nature. Be my benediction, said, with my hand upon thy head, gentle fellow creature. Next is Matthew Arnold's Geist's Grave. As well as penning Thyrsis, his celebrated elegy for the death of his old friend Arthur Hugh Clough, and Dover Beach, his lament for Victorian faith, Arnold, 1822-88, also wrote elegies for his pet dog Geist and his canary Matthias. In Geist's Grave, Arnold celebrates the four brief years he had with his dog Geist, the dachshund, who was his little friend in his life. That loving heart, that patient soul, had they indeed no longer span to run their course and reach their goal and read their homily to man? That liquid melancholy eye, from whose pathetic soul-fed springs, seemed urging the Virgilian cry, the sense of tears in mortal things. That steadfast mournful strain consoled by spirits gloriously gay and temper of heroic mould. What was 4 years, the whole short day? Now, they're just three stanzas from the much longer poem, so if they're the first three, then obviously I won't repeat them again, but I will see if there's another three. Next is Emily Dickinson's A Little Dog That Wags His Tail. Elsewhere, Dickinson wrote beautifully about the movement and behaviour of the cat, which I read a couple of weeks ago. In this poem, she ponders the sheer delight of a dog wagging its tail, which is comparable to a little boy frolicking freely simply because he wants to. Both the dog and the boy behave the way they do because that's how they're made, not for any more complex or cynical motive. A little dog that wags his tail and knows no other joy, of such a little dog am I, reminded by a boy, who gambols all the living day without an earthly cause, because he is a little boy, I honestly suppose. Next is Thomas Hardy's A Popular Personage at Home. One of two poems Thomas Hardy, 1840 to 1928, wrote about his beloved dog of 13 years, Wessex, who died in 1926, 2 years before Hardy himself. Now, I've read this one before, but However, what makes a popular personage at home especially notable is that Hardy wrote the poem from the perspective of the dog, allowing Wessex to speak for himself. But the speaker is reminiscent of Hardy himself, with some suggestive nods to the changes wrought upon the English landscape since the Industrial Revolution, and Hardy's well-documented fear that the England he knew and loved was not going to last, and had indeed already begun to fade from view. No doubt I shall always cross this sill, and turn the corner and stand steady, gazing back for my mistress till she reaches where I have run already. And at this meadow with its brook and bulrush, even as it appears, as I plunge by with hasty look, will stay the same 1,000 years. Next is Rudyard Kipling's The Power of a Dog. This poem by Kipling, 1865 to 1936, extols a dog's most famous virtue, its undying loyalty and devotion to its owner, but also warns against giving your heart to a dog for it to tear, such is the power of the dog. There is sorrow enough in the natural way from men and women to fill our day. And when we are certain of sorrow in store, why do we always arrange for more? Brothers and sisters, I bid you beware of giving your heart to a dog to tear. Next is Sir Walter Raleigh's To a Lady with an Unruly and Ill-Mannered Dog Who Bit Several Persons of Importance. No, not that Sir Walter Raleigh, the one who didn't introduce the potato and tobacco to Europe and never laid down his cloak over a puddle for Queen Elizabeth I. But the Professor of English, one of the first in Britain, who was also an occasional poet. Here he berates a lady for the behaviour of a hydrophobic, i.e. rabid, pet. Sorry, I've just got to check something a moment because it sounded like I dropped there for a moment. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm still on. Your dog is not a dog. He does not wag the tail or beg. He bit Miss Dixon in the face. He bit a Bailey in the leg. What tragic choices such a dog presents to visitor or friend. Outside there is the Glasgow fog. Within, a hydrophobic end. Well, not all dog poems can be entirely laudatory, can they? Says the article. Penultimate is Ogden Nash's The Dog. This short four-line poem exemplifies Nash's accessible, humorous style. It celebrates the dog as a creature full of love and devotion. And finally on the list is Lawrence Ferlinghetti's Dog. The American poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti, born 1919, wrote this, one of the finest poems about a dog. Ferlinghetti shows us the world from a dog's perspective. The things it sees, smells, and hears, from drunks in doorways to cats and cigars. I've read that one before, haven't I? There we go. Just going to check a moment. Oh, it's all right. Yeah, I'm still playing. So let's start with the first poem, shall we? Now, I've already read... Alexander Pope's poem was only two lines long, wasn't it? So I've already read it. Oliver Goldsmith's An Elegy on the Death of a Mad Dog is next. Now, I've already read some of it. I'm just seeing how long it is. Oh, it's okay. Good people all of every sort, give ear unto my song. And if you find it wondrous short, it cannot hold you long. In Islington there was a man, of whom the world might say that still a godly race he ran, whene'er he went to pray. A kind and gentle heart he had, to comfort friends and foes. The naked every day he clad, when he put on his clothes. And in that town a dog was found, as many dogs there be, both mongrel, puppy, whelp, and hound, and curs of low degree. This dog and man at first were friends, but when a pique began, the dog, to gain some private ends, went mad and bit the man. Around from all the neighbouring streets the wondering neighbours ran, and swore the dog had lost his wits to bite so good a man. The wound, it seemed, both sore and sad to every Christian eye. And while they swore the dog was mad, they swore the man would die. But soon a wonder came to light that showed the rogues they lied. The man recovered of the bite. The dog it was that died. Go, I'll just share that one there in the chat room. Next is Elizabeth Barrett Browning's To Flush My Dog. Let's see how long it is. Yeah, it's a lengthy poem, so I'll stick to about three verses. Loving friend, for gift of one who her own true faith had run through my lower nature. Be my benediction, said with my hand upon thy head, gentle fellow creature. Like a lady's ringlets brown, flow thy silken ears adown, either side demurely, of thy silver-suited breast, shining out from all the rest of the thy body purely. Darkly brown thy body is, till the sunshine, striking this, alchemize its dullness. When the sleek curls manifold, flash all over into gold with a burnished fullness. So it's a lengthy poem, so there we go. Next on the list is Matthew Arnold's Geist's Grave. Now, again, if this is a lengthy one, then I'll stick to two or three verses. And yes, it is. I'll do four verses. 4 years, and didst thou stay above the ground, which hides thee now but four? And all that life and all that love were crowded, Geist into no more? Only 4 years those winning ways, which make me for thy presence yearn, called us to pet thee or to praise, dear little friend, at every turn. That loving heart, that patient soul, had they indeed no longer span to run their course and reach their goal and read their homily to man? That liquid melancholy eye from whose pathetic soul-fed springs seemed urging the Virgilian cry, the sense of tears in mortal things. That steadfast mournful strain consoled by spirits gloriously gay and temper of heroic mould, what? Was 4 years their whole short day? There we go. I should just share that one in there, in the chat room. Next is Emily Dickinson's A Little Dog That Wags His Tail. I love Emily Dickinson's poems. A little dog that wags his tail and knows no other joy. Of such a little dog am I, reminded by a boy who gambles all the living day without an earthly cause, because he is a little boy, I honestly suppose. The cat that in the corner dwells, her martial day forgot, the mouse but a tradition now of her desireless lot. Another class remind me, who neither please nor play, but not to make a bit of noise, beseech each little boy. There we go. I'll just share that one in the chat room. And next on the list is Thomas Hardy's A Popular Personage at Home. I've read this one before. And it's, yeah, it's okay. I can fit this one in. I live here. Wessex is my name. I'm a dog known rather well. I guard the house, but how that came to be my whim, I cannot tell. With a leap and a heart elate, I go at the end of an hour's expectancy to take a walk of a mile or so with the folk I let live here with me. Along the path, amid the grass, I sniff and find out rarest smells, for rolling over as I pass the open fields toward the dells. No doubt I shall always cross this sill and turn the corner and stand steady, gazing back for my mistress till she reaches where I have run already. and that this meadow with its brook and bulrush, even as it appears as I plunge by with hasty look, will stay the same 1,000 years. Thus Wessex. But a dubious ray at times informs his steadfast eye, just for a trice, as though to say, yet will this pass, and pass shall I. There we go, there's that one. And next is Rudyard Kipling's The Power of the Dog. I should be able to fit all this one in. There is sorrow enough in the natural way for men and women to fill our day. And when we are certain of sorrow in store, why do we always arrange for more? Brothers and sisters, I bid you beware of giving your heart to a dog to tear. Buy a pup and your money will buy love unflinching that cannot lie, perfect passion and worship fed by a kick in the ribs or a pat on the head. Nevertheless, it is hardly fair to risk your heart for a dog to tear. When the 14 years which nature permits are closing in asthma or tumour or fits, and the vet's unspoken prescription runs to lethal chambers or loaded guns, then you will find it's your own affair, but you've given your heart to a dog to tear. When the body that lived at your single will, with its whimper of welcome, is stilled, how still? When the spirit that answered your every mood is gone, wherever it goes, for good, you will discover how much you care, and will give your heart to a dog to tear. We've sorrow enough in the natural way when it comes to burying Christian clay. Our loves are not given, but only lent, at compound interest of cent per cent. Though it is not always the case, I believe, that the longer we've kept them, the more do we grieve. For, when debts are payable, right or wrong, a short-time loan is as bad as a long. So why in heaven, before we are there, should we give our hearts to a dog to tear? There you go, there's that one there in the chat room. Next is Sir Walter Raleigh's To a Lady with an Unruly and Ill-Mannered Dog Who Bit Several Persons of Importance. And no, it's the first Professor of English, by the way. Not the Queen Elizabeth the First's... Not the Elizabethan Jacobean explorer and poet. Your dog is not a dog of grace. He does not wag the tail or beg. He bit Miss Dixon in the face. He bit a Bailey in the leg. What tragic choices such a dog presents to visitor or friend. Outside there is the Glasgow fog. Within, a hydrophobic end. Yet some relief even terror brings, for when our life is cold and grey, we waste our strength on little things, and fret our puny souls away. A snarl, a scruffle round the room, a sense that death is drawing near, and human creatures reassume the elemental robe of fear. So when my colleague makes his moan of careless cooks and warts and debt, enlarge his views, restore his tone, and introduce him to your pet. There we go. I'll just share that one there in the chat. What a wonderful name for a poem. Penultimate poem now is Ogden Nash's The Dog. And it's not a very long poem. The truth I do not stretch or shove when I state that the dog is full of love. I've also found, by actual test, a wet dog is the lovingest. There we go. There's that one. And the final poem coming up now, which is Lawrence Ferlinghetti's Dog. I've read this one before, but I love it. I should be able to read it all. The dog trots freely in the street and sees reality, and the things he sees are bigger than himself, and the things he sees are his reality. Drunks in doorways, moons on trees. The dog trots freely through the street, and the things he sees are smaller than himself. Fish on newsprint, ants in holes, chickens in Chinatown windows, their heads a block away. The dog trots freely in the street, and the things he smells smell something like himself. The dog trots freely in the street, past puddles and babies, cats and cigars, pool rooms and policemen. He doesn't hate cops. He merely has no use for them, and he goes past them and past the dead cows hung up whole in front of a San Francisco meat market. He would rather eat a tender cow than a tough policeman, though either might do. And he goes past the Romeo Ravioli factory, and past Coit's Tower, and past Congressman Doyle. He's afraid of Coit's Tower, but he's not afraid of Congressman Doyle, although what he hears is very discouraging, very depressing, very absurd, to a sad young dog like himself, to a serious dog like himself. But he has his own free world to live in, his own fleas to eat. He will not be muzzled. Congressman Doyle is just another fire hydrant to him. The dog trots freely in the street and has his own dog's life to live and to think about and to reflect upon, touching and tasting and testing everything, investigating everything without benefit of perjury, a real realist with a real tale to tell and a real tale to tell it with, a real live, barking, democratic dog, engaged in real, free enterprise, with something to say about ontology, something to say about reality, and how to see it, and how to hear it, with his head cocked sideways, at street corners, as if he is just about to have his picture taken for Victor Records, listening for his master's voice, and looking like a living question mark into the great gramophone of puzzling existence with its wondrous hollow horn, which always seems just about to spout forth some victorious answer to everything. There we go. That's the final poem for today. A few more poems back on Monday. Not sure what it's going to be about yet. But I suggest you wrap something warm around your shoulders, folks, because it's a bit chilly out there. We're going to be dashing across the rather sodden lawns now to the Bijou booth that is Willow's Observatory. Five articles lined up for you, folks. Now, I've had them bookmark a wee while, but they're still relevant. And this first article, I said I was going to defer it because I wanted to give it time to breathe. Now, this one was one that I mentioned at the time. I wasn't sure whether to include it on the Observatory or what else to apply it to. But I thought, well, actually, this does apply more to Observatory matters as opposed to anything else. And this is on the nature.com website, and it was posted up on 16th of January this year and written by David Castelvecchi. And it's how spooky is quantum physics? The answer could be incalculable. And its subheading is proof at the nexus of pure mathematics and algorithms puts quantum weirdness on a whole new level. Albert Einstein famously said that quantum mechanics should allow two objects to affect each other's behavior instantly across vast distances, something he dubbed spooky action at a distance. Decades after his death, experiments confirmed this. But, to this day, it remains unclear exactly how much coordination nature allows between distant objects. Now, five researchers say they have solved a theoretical problem that shows that the answer is, in principle, unknowable. The team's proof, presented in a 165-page paper, was posted on the Arxiv preprint repository on 14th of January and has yet to be peer-reviewed. It may well have been peer-reviewed since, but if it holds up, it will solve in one fell swoop a number of related problems in pure mathematics, quantum mechanics and a branch of computer science known as complexity theory. In particular, it will answer a mathematical question that has been unsolved for more than 40 years. If their proof checks out, it's a super beautiful result, says Stephanie Werner, a theoretical quantum physicist at Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands. At the heart of the paper is a proof of a theorem in complexity theory, which is concerned with efficiency of algorithms. Earlier studies have shown this problem to be mathematically equivalent to the question of spooky action at a distance, also known as quantum entanglement. The theorem concerns a game theory problem, with a team of two players who are able to coordinate their actions through quantum entanglement, even though they are not allowed to talk to each other. This enables both players to win much more often than they would without quantum entanglement. But it is intrinsically impossible for the two players to calculate an optimal strategy, the authors show. This implies that it is impossible to calculate how much coordination they could theoretically achieve. There is no algorithm that is going to tell you what the maximal violation you can get in quantum mechanics, says co-author Thomas Vidic at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. What's amazing is that quantum complexity theory has been the key to the proof, says Toby Cubitt, a quantum information theorist at University College London. News of the paper spread quickly through social media after the work was posted, sparking excitement. I thought it would turn out to be one of those complexity theory questions that might take 100 years to answer, tweeted Joseph Fitzsimons, chief executive of Horizon Quantum Computing, a startup company in Singapore. I'm shitting bricks here, commented another physicist, Matthias Araujo, at the Austrian Academy of Sciences in Vienna. I never thought I'd see this problem being solved in my lifetime. On the pure math side, the problem was known as the Kohn embedding problem, after the French mathematician and Fields medalist Alain Kohn. It is a question in the theory of operators, a branch of maths that itself arose from efforts to provide the foundations of quantum mechanics in the 1930s. Operators are matrices of numbers that can have either a finite or an infinite number of rows and columns. They have a crucial role in quantum theory, whereby each operator encodes an observable property of a physical object. In a 1976 paper, using the language of operators, Kohn asked whether quantum systems with infinitely many measurable variables could be approximated by simpler systems that have a finite number. But the paper by Vidic and his collaborators shows that the answer is no. There are, in principle, quantum systems that cannot be approximated by finite ones. According to work by physicist Boris Cyrilson, who reformulated the problem, this also means that it is impossible to calculate the amount of correlation that two such systems can display across space when entangled. The proof has come as a surprise to much of the community. I was sure that Cyrilson's problem had a positive answer, wrote Araujo in his comments, adding that the result shook his basic conviction that nature is in some vague sense fundamentally finite. But researchers have barely begun to grasp the implications of the results. Quantum entanglement is at the heart of a nascent field of quantum computing and quantum communications, and could be used as the basis of super secure networks. In particular, measuring the amount of correlation between entangled objects in a communication system can provide proof that it is safe from eavesdropping. But the results probably do not have technological implications, Vayner says, because all applications use quantum systems that are finite. In fact, it could be difficult to even conceive an experiment that could test quantum weirdness on an intrinsically infinite system, she says. The confluence of complexity theory, quantum information and mathematics means that there are very few researchers who say that they are able to grasp all the facets of this paper. Kohn himself told Nature that he was not qualified to comment, but he added that he was surprised by how many ramifications it has turned out to have. It is amazing that the problem went so deep, and I never foresaw that. There you go. There's that one. Next on the list is from Caltech. Caltech's website. Posted up on January the 15th this year. And we are visiting a neighbor. Looking at the first asteroid found inside orbit of Venus, folks. So a rare asteroid orbiting snugly within the inner confines of our solar system has been discovered by Caltech's Zwicky Transient Facility, or ZTF, a survey camera based at Palomar Observatory. The newfound body, named 2020 AV2, is the first asteroid found to orbit entirely within the orbit of Venus. So getting past the orbit of Venus must have been challenging, says George Helou, executive director of the IPAC Astronomy Center at Caltech and a ZTF co-investigator, who explains that the asteroid must have migrated in toward Venus from farther out in the solar system. The only way it will ever get out of its orbit is if it gets flung out via a gravitational encounter with Mercury or Venus, but more likely it will end up crashing on one of those two planets. 2020 AV2 belongs to a small class of asteroids known as Ateras, which are bodies with orbits that fall within the orbit of Earth. More specifically, it is the first Vatira asteroid, with a V standing for Venus. Vatira asteroids, which were only hypothesized until now, have orbits that fall entirely inside the orbit of Venus. The ZTF camera is particularly adept at finding asteroids because it scans the entire sky rapidly and thus can catch the asteroids during their short-lived appearances in the night sky. Because Vatiras orbit so close to our sun, they are only visible at dusk or dawn. 2020 AV2 is the third Atira discovered by ZTF as part of its Twilight program developed by Wing Huen Ip of the National Central University in Taiwan, and Quan Ji Ye, formerly of Caltech and now at the University of Maryland. The asteroid, which was initially designated ZTF-09K5, was first flagged as a candidate on January the 4th, 2020, by Bryce Bolin, a postdoctoral scholar at Caltech. Soon thereafter, an alert was posted by the Minor Planet Center, the official organization for cataloging small solar system bodies such as asteroids, and this piqued the interest of the astronomical community. Several telescopes around the globe followed up on the target, helping to pin down the body's unusual orbit and narrow down estimates of its size. The asteroid spans about 1 to 3 kilometers and has an elongated orbit tilted about 15 degrees relative to the plane of our solar system. During its 151-day orbit around the sun, it always travels interior to Venus, but at its closest approach to the sun, it comes very close to the orbit of Mercury. An encounter with a planet probably flung the asteroid into Venus's orbit, explains Tom Prince, the Ira S. Bowen Professor of Physics at Caltech and a senior research scientist at JPL, which Caltech manages for NASA, as well as a co-investigator of ZTF. It's the opposite of what happens when a space mission swings by a planet for a gravity boost. Instead of gaining energy from a planet, it loses it. Members of the ZTF team say they look forward to hunting for more Vatira asteroids in the future. We have no idea how many more there are like this or if it's unique, says Helou. So ZTF is funded by the National Science Foundation and an international collaboration of partners. Additional support comes from Caltech and the Heising Simons Foundation. ZTF data are processed and archived by IPAC. NASA supports ZTF's research for near-Earth objects through the Near-Earth Object Observations Program. This article was written by Whitney Claven. So there you go. I'll share that one there in the chat room. And next on the list is from the University of Copenhagen, the Niels Bohr Institute, to be specific, and this was posted up on the 17th of January 2020. And we're going back about 12 billion years, folks. Headlining this one, the core of massive dying galaxies already formed 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang. So the most distant dying galaxy discovered so far, more massive than our Milky Way, with more than a trillion stars, has revealed that the cores of these systems had formed already 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang, about a billion years earlier than previous measurements revealed. The discovery will add to our knowledge on the formation of the universe more generally, and may cause the computer models astronomers use, one of the most fundamental tools, to be revised. The result was obtained in close collaboration with Masayuki Tanaka and his colleagues at the National Observatory of Japan, now published in two works in the Astrophysical Journal Letters and in the Astrophysical Journal. So here's a little bit more detail. What is a dead galaxy? Galaxies are broadly categorized as dead or alive. Dead galaxies are no longer forming stars, while alive galaxies are still bright with star formation activity. A quenching galaxy is a galaxy in the process of dying, meaning its star formation is significantly suppressed. Quenching galaxies are not as bright as fully alive galaxies, but they are not as dark as dead galaxies. Researchers use this spectrum of brightness as the first line of identification when observing galaxies in the universe. So the farthest dying galaxy discovered so far reveals remarkable maturity, says this headline. So a team of researchers at the Cosmic Dawn Center of the Niels Bohr Institute and the National Observatory of Japan recently discovered a massive galaxy dying already 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang, the most distant of its kind. Moreover, we found that its core seems already fully formed at that time, says Masayuki Tanaka, the author of the letter. This result pairs up with the fact that, when these dying gigantic systems were still alive and forming stars, they might not have been that extreme compared with the average population of galaxies, as Francesco Valentino, assistant professor at the Cosmic Dawn Center at the Niels Bohr Institute and author of an article on the past history of dead galaxies, that appeared in the Astrophysical Journal. So why do galaxies die? That's one of the biggest and still unanswered questions in astrophysics. The suppressed star formation tells us that a galaxy is dying, sadly, but that is exactly the kind of galaxy we want to study in detail to understand why it dies, continues Valentino. One of the biggest questions that astrophysics still has not answered is how a galaxy goes from being star-forming to being dead. For instance, the Milky Way is still alive and slowly forming new stars, but not too far away, in astronomical terms. The central galaxy of the Virgo cluster, M87, is dead and completely different. Why is that? It might have to do with the presence of gigantic and active black holes at the centre of galaxies like M87, Valentino says. So Earth-based telescopes find extremes, but astronomers look for normality. So one of the problems in observing galaxies in this much detail is that the telescopes available now on Earth are generally able to find only the most extreme systems. However, the key to describe the history of the universe is held by the vastly more numerous population of normal objects. Since we are trying hard to discover this normality, the current observational limitations are an obstacle that has to be overcome. The new James Webb Space Telescope, scheduled for launch in 2021, will be able to provide the astronomers with data in a level of detail that should be able to map exactly this normality. The methods developed in close collaboration between the Japanese team and the team at the Niels Bohr Institute have already proven to be successful given the recent result. This is significant because it will enable us to look for the most promising galaxies from the start when JWST gives us access to much higher quality data, Francesco Valentino explains. So what has been found observationally is not too far away from what the most recent models predict. Until very recently, we did not have many observations to compare with the models. However, the situation is in rapid evolution, and with JWST, we will have valuable larger samples of normal galaxies in a few years. The more galaxies we can study, the better we are able to understand the properties or situations leading to a certain state. If the galaxy is alive, quenching, or dead. It is basically a question of writing the history of the universe correctly and in greater and greater detail. At the same time, we're tuning the computer models to take our observations into account, which will be a huge improvement, not just for our branch of work, but for astronomy in general, Francesco Valentino explains. Cosmic Dawn Center is supported by the Danish National Research Foundation and Francesco Valentino's research by a grant from the Carlsberg Foundations, the galaxy's rise and death. There we go. I'll just post that one there in the chat room. Next on the list is from the Instituto di Astrofisica de Canarias. So basically the Institute of Astrophysics of the Canary Islands. And this was posted up on 21st of January, headquartered at the Roque de los Muchachos Observatory. And its astronomers detect large amounts of oxygen in the atmosphere of a primitive star. Some great graphics with all of these, by the way. So scientists from the Instituto di Astrofisica de Canarias, the AIC, in collaboration with the University of Cambridge and the University of California, San Diego, detect large amounts of oxygen in the atmosphere of the primitive star called J0815+4729. I'm just going to stick with J0815, by the way. This finding, reported in the journal The Astrophysical Journal Letters, provides an important clue on how oxygen and other chemical elements were produced in the first generations of stars in the universe. Oxygen is the third most abundant element in the universe after hydrogen and helium. It is essential for all forms of life on Earth and a building block of carbohydrates. It is also the main component of the Earth's crust. However, oxygen didn't exist in the early universe. This element is mainly created inside massive stars with masses greater than roughly 10 solar masses. The star J0815 is an old star of the halo of the galaxy discovered by the AIC team in 2018 using the Gran Telescopio Canarias in the Roque de los Muchachos Observatory, which is Garafia in La Palma. The research team recently observed this star with a Keck telescope in Hawaii to determine the detailed chemical composition of its atmosphere. The primitive composition of the star indicates that it was formed during the first hundreds of millions of years after the Big Bang, possibly from the material expelled in the first supernova of the Milky Way, says Jonay Gonzalez Hernandez, Ramon E. Cajal, postdoctoral researcher of the IAC and leading author of the work. The star has large amounts of carbon, nitrogen and oxygen, approximately 10, 8 and 3% respectively of its amount in the sun, while the calcium and iron content is almost 1/1,000,000th of the solar. Only a few such stars are known in the halo of our galaxy, but none have such an enormous amount of carbon, nitrogen and oxygen compared to their iron content, said David Aguado, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Cambridge and co-author of this paper. A recent study based on data from the Gaia satellite confirms that the star orbits the internal halo of the Milky Way and that it is approximately 5,200 light years away from the Sun. The search for stars of this type requires dedicated projects that allow obtaining stellar spectroscopy to determine their fundamental parameters and chemical composition. In the near future, we will continue our searches of these primitive stars with data from the WEAVE and DESI projects, and we will analyse them in detail with observations of the Horus instrument installed in the GTC, points out Carlos Allende Prieto, IAC researcher and co-author of this article. Stars like J0815 are referred to as halo stars, explains UC San Diego astrophysicist Adam Bergeser, a co-author of the study. This is due to their roughly spherical distribution around the Milky Way, as opposed to the more familiar flat disk of younger stars that include the Sun. Halo stars like J0815 are truly ancient stars, allowing astronomers a peek into element production early in the history of the universe. 30 years ago, we started at the AIC to study the presence of oxygen in the oldest stars of the galaxy. The results already pointed out that this element was produced enormously in the first generations of supernova, but then we could not imagine that we would find a case as spectacular as that of this star, concludes Rafael Ribolo, IAC director and co-author of the work. Right, well, we're going to be visiting Saturn's moon. Next time we visit the observatory, because I'm not going to have time to start that one now, and I really want to give it some time to breathe. So I'll be deferring that to the next trip to the observatory, which is probably going to be next week. But anyway, we're coming up to the top of the hour now, folks. So I don't think Paul Stevenson's going to be on after me. I don't think I can do a third hour. I don't think I can, but we'll certainly have something on. We've got plenty going on anyway on both studios tonight, folks. Something will be on after me. I know that 5 p.m. will be Deacon with Liberation Nation here in Studio A. 6 p.m. will be Inside the Eye Live with Dennis Fetcho. 8 p.m. will be Chuck Gregory with A New American Dream. And rounding off the evening here on Studio A will be David Debine with Mini Ice Age Conversation. Over this studio wall at 6 p.m. Eastern will be Mario with This, That and the Other. And following Mario at 8 p.m. will be Mr. Rowe with Reality Extraction. And rounding off the evening on Studio B will be Jay Parker with The Centre Path and Matrix Warriors. And seeing in the day will be Dave Scott with Spaced Out Radio on B. And seeing in the day over here on Studio A will be Keith AZ with Keith AZ Live. Me, I will be back with you on Monday for Willow's World. So you all take care. Have a great weekend. See you then. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.